This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, the YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there. We made it. We're back. It is opening day of the Major League Baseball season. The Phillies and the Nationals this afternoon. I can't wait. I'm wearing my Phillies hoodie. I woke up thinking about baseball. I'll be watching baseball and the NCAA tournament, but baseball all day long with an in-game starting at 3, Phillies at 4. It is a great, great, great sports day. And it's one of my favorite days of the year on the podcast because this is where I unveil my bold predictions for the Phillies season. I'll go through all 25 of them here. This is what I do every year for the Eagles and the Phillies. I do whatever the year is, right? 2025 now. So 25 bold predictions. I'll probably have bitten off more than I could chew when we get to like 35 and 2040 and 2050 and, who knows how long we'll do this for. But 25 is a reasonable number. 25 bold predictions. Some of them I'll expound a little bit more upon. Some of them are just kind of self-explanatory. They are what they are, so we'll try to keep the podcast the normal kind of time here. All right, number one, the Trey Turner leadoff experiment will not work. The Phillies might go, vacillate between this for a while, vacillate between Turner, Schwarber, Turner. Ultimately, Turner's going to settle back into not being the leadoff hitter. He doesn't get on base enough. And I was talking about yesterday on the midday show, I don't expect a different Trey Turner. Number one, the Trey Turner leadoff experiment will not work. Number two, Kyle Schwarber will lead the National League in home runs, slugging 46 in the final year of his contract. I'm not projecting, I'm not guessing a Kyle Schwarber extension before the end of the season, which means he could be a free agent. With 46 home runs under his belt, what a great run it's been for Schwarber as a Philly. He is a monster atop the order. I think eventually he'll retake that spot on an everyday basis as the Phillies' leadoff hitter. Schwarber bombs 46 homers in his final year of his contract, which really, you add it all together, what an incredible four-year deal for the Phillies. Number three, Bryce Harper will finish sixth in National League MVP voting, joining Shohei Ohtani, Corbin Carroll, Juan Soto, Ellie De La Cruz, and Mookie Betts atop the bell. Look, every year you want to kind of pencil Bryce Harper in as an MVP candidate, and he certainly will be in my mind. He's a great player. I do think it hurts him playing first base in terms of wins above replacement, which is really what pushes the storylines for for the MVP. You know, Ohtani did something rare. Ohtani's a rare player, so I don't think you box him into the position he plays, which is mostly DH. He had 50 stolen bases, 50 home runs. We know he's going to come back to the mound this year. Corbin Carroll's a great all-around player. Juan Soto's probably the best offensive, just strictly hitter in baseball. Ellie De La Cruz, another all-around player. And Mookie Betts, one of the best all-around players of all time. So I think they'll be above him on the ballot. But I have Bryce sixth, NL MVP voting this year. Number four, Zach Wheeler will finish third, and Christopher Sanchez will finish fifth, each top five in the NL Cy Young voting. The final tally, I'm going to take Michael King of the Padres to win the National League Cy Young, Paul Skenes of the Pirates to finish second, Wheeler third, Brandon Pfaadt in a breakout year with the Diamondbacks fourth, and Christopher Sanchez fifth. Two Phillies finished top five in Cy Young voting. I am buying the Christopher Sanchez hype. The stuff is jumping out of his hand. The movement is insane. He looks stronger. I loved what he became last year, and I think the Phillies, for all the contracts they've given out in recent years, you say, oh, I don't know about that one, like Castellanos and Taiwan and Trey Turner. The contract they gave out and the long-term play they made on Christopher Sanchez looks like it could be one of the smartest things they do have done in a long time around here. Sanchez finishes top five along with Wheeler, Cy Young. Prediction number five, bold prediction number five, Aaron Nola's strikeout rate and his strikeout-to-walk ratio will continue to decline as the innings on his arm pile up. Look, Nola is exemplary at a lot of things, and he's strong and he's durable. But if you look under the hood, it's happening. He has declined from, I would say, 2022, I think we'll look at as his last great year, where he finished fourth at Cy Young, and he really was outstanding for most of that season. And then it slipped a little bit in 23, slipped a little more in 24. His strikeout to walk, his strikeout rate are all going down. I hope and I think he could level off a little bit to where it's not that big of a decline. It's just like a little bit chipping off what it was the last couple years. And I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be more of a number three starter moving forward now, a three of four in the next 4 or 5 years than ever again a number one or a number two. And you may have thought he never was a one, but he certainly profiled as a very, very high-end number two in his best day. I think those days are over. I think Nola is a mid-rotation starter. Luckily for the Phillies, even though the money says he should be the number two, Sanchez is going to end up as the two, and it'll even out here. Number six, Max Kepler will start out hot, eliciting 2009 Raul Ibanez comparisons. But a good April will be forgotten by midsummer, and we'll all be calling for an outfielder or two by the trade deadline. Stay tuned. We'll get to that. Number seven, Joe Ross, who's kind of a swingman in the pen, is going to be the new Spencer Turnbull and a fan favorite within 6 weeks. Number eight, Orion Kerkering will be the Phillies' primary closer by mid-May. We had a chance to sit down with Kerkering in spring training. He seems confident. He seems like he is ready to roll this year. I am not sold on Jordan Romano as a big-time bounce back. I think the Phillies are going to need someone in the back of the bullpen to solidify things, and I think Kerkering, as their best right-handed arm, will be that guy. Number nine, Rob Thomson will be on the hot seat before Memorial Day. Look, I think Topper's going to make the full season. I don't think Topper's going to get fired in the season. But I do think this is going to be a more challenging year for the Phillies. I do think there's going to be more choppiness with this team. I do think the bullpen is much, much thinner than it was last year. And whenever a bullpen is the reason a team struggles or loses games or everyone's biting their nails, you go to the manager because the manager's choosing the reliever to come out at each moment. So if he chooses the wrong guy on that day, it points back to him. Go to any manager that struggles, and I guarantee you look at their bullpen, and there's blowups in the bullpen. And I can see this year them having some choppiness early in the bullpen. It'll lead to more losses than you want. It'll lead to a little bit of a less sterling record April, May, and Topper hot seat conversation will be out there. That's number nine. Number 10, Bryson Stott is going to bounce back in a big way. We talked to him down in Clearwater for spring training last week, and he really went through what he was going through last year with his elbow, with the hyperextension. You look at Bryson Stott's numbers from, you know, where he was the first 6-7 weeks of the season into that middle of the May series in Miami to where he was the rest of the year. It was two different hitters. One guy looked like a star. One guy was borderline unplayable. One guy's strikeout to walk ratio basically 1-to-1. The other guy was not. I believe in Stott. I believe in a bounce back. That's number 10. Number 11, the Phillies will DFA Taiwan Walker in June, signaling the end of one of the worst contracts in franchise history. Once the Phillies solidify their rotation, once they get Andrew Painter ready to roll late June, early July, Walker will be out of here. Number 12, Rob Thomson will finally do what he should have been doing a long time ago, deploy the best outfield defense late in games with leads. No more major league buddies. No more, you know, this guy wants to do this, so he gets to do that. No, defense first. Late in games this season, early on, the Phillies should deploy a Max Kepler, Brandon Marsh, Johan Rojas outfield, and Castellanos, with a lead in the ninth inning, should take a seat. And I think Thompson will eventually do that after he loses a game on defense before he does it. Number 13, the bullpen. It's going to be a year-long adventure, at least until the trade deadline. I know a lot of people are bullish on Jose Alvarado, and he looked really good this spring. And I like that he added a curveball, and he's in better shape. But, you know, I'll believe it when I see it over 162. His strikeout numbers last year, especially against right-handed batters, really, really fell. I need to see him do this in the regular season. I'm skeptical of Romano. I really like Kerkering. I got to see Ruiz take a higher-level role. It just feels like a thinner bullpen to me that's going to have to be addressed through maneuvering with the guys they have and maybe a trade deadline acquisition. Number 14, the Phillies. And JT Realmuto will agree on a contract extension during the All-Star break. I think the theme's going to be to get younger and quicker into the future for the Phillies, a little bit more flexible. But the Realmuto thing is difficult because I don't believe they have a starting catcher, a viable starting catcher available to them for 2026. We'll see what Marchand does this year, and I think the first half of the season will be instructive in both the Realmuto future and the Marchand future. They're intertwined. If Marchand is healthy and showing a lot, meanwhile JT is declining more, then obviously not going to re-sign JT. But if JT plays well and Marchand does not look like a starter, I think the Phillies are going to say, hey, let's just treat JT the way the Cardinals treated Yadier Molina, tack on a few years, and let's ride this thing out till the end until we develop our catcher of the future. Number 15, Alec Bohm will regress, losing his spot in the middle of the order and leading to trade rumors once again. I'm skeptical that Bohm mentally can handle coming back here after he knew the team wanted to dump him. I mean, that's the reality of it. Whether they sugarcoat this or not, he knew and we knew and everyone in baseball knew they wanted to trade him. And they didn't get an offer they liked, so they brought him back. I am very skeptical that Alec Bohm's going to handle that well, especially as a player like Aiden Miller is barreling through the minor leagues. I don't know what Aiden Miller is going to play in the big leagues full time. I think he could arrive here this year in a variety of roles because his bat will get him here. But eventually, he's either going to probably be a shortstop, third baseman, or left fielder. I think that's just his body, his size. That's what he's going to be. And he could take Trey Turner's spot at shortstop, possible. If Trey Turner has at least an okay year at shortstop, they could roll one more year with that, and Miller plays third base next year. Either way, I don't think Bohm's long for this. I think he knows it. I think it's going to be in his head, and I think it's going to affect him. Not thinking we're going to get a big year out of Alec Bohm. Number 16, the kids. Andrew Painter on, let's say, July 1st, and Aiden Miller on August 1st will arrive, respectively, to save the season. I think they're both going to be here. Painter's going to be here by merit. I was struck by the way Dave Dombrowski spoke about Aiden Miller at the beginning of spring training, saying the special ones come quickly. Well, Miller could be a special one. I think he's going to rake at AA. I think the Phillies will fast-track his arrival, regardless of what they're doing at short and third, by giving him reps in the outfield, so it gives him an opportunity to get his bat to Philadelphia, to Philadelphia this summer. Number 17, old friend Rhys Hoskins will become a legitimate trade option at the deadline. He's in the last year of his deal. Milwaukee's always thinking about the future. I think Milwaukee will be a contender, a playoff contender, NL Central contender, but not a great team. And if they could dump the rest of Hoskins' salary, they will. Bryce Harper's already volunteered to go back to the outfield. That will be a sentimental choice. Mike Trout, who I'm hoping, and crossing my fingers, ask out Trout, will stay healthy this year, will be a hot topic and a hot button issue if the Phillies and Angels could agree on some sort of deal that brings him here, maybe a dump of big salaries with the Phillies going to L.A. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., watch out for that name. He'll be the apple of everyone's eye after the Harper volunteering to go to the outfield. But ultimately, the actual trade deadline blockbuster, we'll put that at number 18 in the bold predictions, is with the St. Louis Cardinals. A deal I thought that could have went down in the offseason, but didn't. Alec Bohm, Nick Castellanos, prospects Moises Chance, and Justin Crawford go to St. Louis and into Philadelphia by the deadline. Nolan Arenado, Brendan Donovan, and Ryan Helsley. Helsley fits into the relief role. He and Orion Kerkering and hopefully a really energized Alvarado make up a good back end of the bullpen with Matt Strom. Brendan Donovan is a guy I've wanted in Philadelphia for years. He is a Ben Zobrist-esque, scrappy, foul pitches off, Hess in the box, could play third, second, left, right. You could probably throw him in center, throw him at first if you need to. He's a do-everything winning player. Brendan Donovan, when I watch him play, I think that's a guy that's on in a World Series lineup, and I think he'll help the Phillies a lot now and into the future. And then Arenado waves his no trade. Not the player he used to be, but a little more consistent, a little more bat on the ball than Castellanos in the middle of the order, and obviously plays a much better defense at third base than Alec Boehm. Arenado, Brendan Donovan, Ryan Helsley is the trade. Crawford, Chance, Castellanos, Boehm out. The Phillies, for the first time with this group, really, really shake it up. Number 19, Andrew Painter's usage will be the biggest debate in the city, even including the Eagles in training camp. Starter, reliever, fireman out of the pen. What's his innings cap? Will they save enough for October? Number 20, no Phillies player will play 150 games due to a combination of age. They have five regulars, at least as of now, 32 or older, injury, and the team prioritizing for the long haul. Because of that, in part because of that, the Phillies' win total will be 89 games. They put their foot on the gas early last year, ended up with 95. This year, I think they take a more holistic approach. Do not push to win the division. Rest guys. It ends up with an 89-win season because of a really good second half. Number 22, the Phillies, with 89 wins, will not repeat as NL East champions, instead making the playoffs as the final wild card by edging out the Brewers, the Cubs, and the Padres down the stretch of the season. Your order of finish in the National League East, number one, the New York Mets will want Soto to win the division. Number two, the Atlanta Braves, with their health coming as the season goes on, with Strider and Acuna coming back, Albies coming back, Riley coming back, Profar in. I think the Braves have some bullpen issues as well. They'll clean that up at the deadline. Strider, Sale, Schwellenbach is a difficult 1-2-3 to go through in October. Braves finish second. Phillies, third, NL East. The Nationals at fourth. Of course, the Miami Marlins in fifth. Your National League playoff teams.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The NL West winner and number one overall seed, the Los Angeles Dodgers. The NL Central winner and number three seed, Cincinnati Reds, led by Terry Francona. Number three seed NL East winner, as I already said, the New York Mets. Your wild cards, the four seed, Arizona Diamondbacks with 93 victories. Number five seed, the Atlanta Braves with 93 victories. And the Philadelphia Phillies with 89 victories as the last and final playoff team. And number 25, the Philly season ends one round earlier. Again, the Phillies go out in the wild card round in three games to Terry Francona's Reds, signaling the end of an era, a younger, retooled roster, including Aiden Miller for a full season, maybe at shortstop when they swap him and Turner, Andrew Painter in the rotation, Brendan Donovan in the everyday lineup every day. A younger, retooled team emerges for 2026 around Bryce Harper. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. It's opening day. The bold predictions are out there. Enjoy the baseball. We'll talk about it all. And don't forget, YouTube, live now, every single day, all shows, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on WIP, live. Watch them on YouTube. We'll talk soon on WIP Daily.